Diary, November and December, 1890. Norwich, Connecticut. November 26th to December 3rd, 1890. On the steamer en route for Norwich, evening of November 26th, 1890. We left Brooklyn, Brother Miles, Sarah McInturfer, and I, to go to our appointment at Norwich, Connecticut. We said goodbye to Willie, not expecting to see him again for 3 weeks. Then we will meet him in Washington. We first took a streetcar as far as the bridge. Then we climbed the stairs to the elevated railroad, then down the stairs after we crossed the bridge. We were on the crowded street of Broadway, dodging this way and then that way between teams, narrowly escaping being run over. We reached a car we wished to take, and it went very slowly, being obstructed with heavily loaded vehicles again and again. Changed cars again, and just as we were about to get on board the horse car, there came a heavily loaded wagon drawn by 2 powerful horses. They almost collided with the streetcar and became fixed for a time onto the car. I saw a place where we could dodge past the team and board the train. I ran, calling the others to follow with the baggage, which they did, and once more we were moving along. Soon we were obstructed with heavily loaded wagons. As we were near the wharf, we decided to leave the car and walk. It was only a few rods. We were able, after going before teams and behind them and between them, to pass down the gangplank into the boat. Here I am writing, sitting in my berth in my stateroom. I had opportunity to write until it was thought best to get to rest. We had good convenience in the line of beds. I was awakened out of my sleep by someone rapping on my door. I asked what was wanted and was asked where we were bound. I told them, to Norwich, Connecticut. At 1 o'clock, the boat stopped. Then, to our sorrow, we learned that the gangway where all the luggage or freight was loaded and unloaded was directly beneath our stateroom. There was the noise of trundling wheelbarrows, orders being given, and the loading of barrels until morning. A very poor chance to sleep. We were to be awakened at 4 o'clock, but our awakening commenced at 1 o'clock and continued until 4. We must take the cars at 5 o'clock. It was bitterly cold, yet beautifully pleasant. We walked quite a distance to the depot. There was a large waiting room, 1 room for men and women. Cards were hanging on the walls saying, "No smoking in this room," and yet there were several men smoking away unrestrained. How glad I was to get on board the cars. After riding about 1 hour, we came to Norwich and decided to walk nearly 1 mile to Brother and Sister Greer's. We reached the place about 6 o'clock. It was hardly light. We rang the bell again and again, but no one heard. We tried at another door with better success and roused Brother Greer, and he let us in. Soon Sister Greer was up, and we were made welcome. Thus ended my entering of my 64th year. November 27th, 1890. November 27th, we were among strangers in a place we had never visited before. We had both become so thoroughly chilled that it was very difficult to get the blood to the surface in good circulation. We walked out, Sarah and I, about 1 mile, and the air was sharp but bracing. I came to the breakfast table at 9 o'clock. Oh, how hungry I was. I ate very heartily. Dinner was at 3 o'clock, and I was again hungry for dinner. It was Thanksgiving Day. I tried to sleep some, but I could sleep only a few moments. Brother Miles talked that night to the few assembled. The people were very much scattered and cannot readily assemble at the meeting house. Norwich, Connecticut. I am quite comfortable today. Wrote many pages to send to Battle Creek to be read during the week of prayer. We rode out to Norwich Town, Connecticut, 3 miles. Purchased cloth shoes, for my feet are cold, and I dare not continue to have them cold. I was pleased to get back to my place where I was entertained. I spoke in the evening from John 14. If ye love me, keep my commandments. etc. Verse 15. There was not a large number present. I had a measure of freedom in speaking. Brother Robinson and Farman came to this place last night at 11 o'clock. November 29th, 1890. Norwich, Connecticut. Evening after the Sabbath. It is milder today. There was less than 100 present, but they are indeed a very intelligent people who have embraced the truth. I spoke from Acts 1 on the commission given by Christ to his disciples. I had freedom in speaking. As we were so scattered, meeting was held from 11 o'clock. We were in Sabbath school 1 hour. I spoke at 12. The word seemed to reach hearts, and when the social meeting was in session, many spoke right to the point. A physician, Dr. Smith, has taken his stand upon the truth and is ardent in faith. He is a popular man and of excellent repute. He bore a decided testimony. He said, when the text was read, Christ's commission to his disciples, the words thrilled him through and through. He expressed, as did several, thankfulness to God that he had sent Sister White to them to speak to them the truth. I tried to present the character of Christ as a teacher. He made the truth to appear in its exalted, holy character. He ever exalted the moral law as the elevated standard of righteousness. He dwelt much upon the relation human beings bear to God and to each other. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. 1 John 4, verse 7. Norwich, Connecticut. I spoke in the afternoon. The house of worship was full. I have seldom addressed a more intelligent audience. I spoke from Luke 19, of Christ's riding into Jerusalem. The attention of every one was riveted. I had special strength given me from the Lord, and His Holy Spirit impressed the hearts of the hearers. There was deep feeling in the congregation. My heart was filled with gratitude to my Savior that I was sustained by His Holy Spirit in speaking to the people. December 3, 1890. Norwich. I am drawing nigh to God with all the power of my being, and I praise His name. The Lord is indeed fulfilling His promise in drawing nigh unto me. I have the sweet peace of Christ in my soul. I feel a deep longing day and night for the continual baptism of the Holy Ghost, because I cannot have any strength of my own. I must have divine power. I cannot make my own labors of value, but as Christ has paid the ransom money for my soul, I must consider that soul of value, and every power of soul, body, and mind must be the Lord's wholly and without reserve. I want to learn daily the art of faith and the grace of submission, that I may have the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I do not want to be satisfied with anything short of a knowledge of God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. I visited Brother Apley's family about 1/2 mile out, and it seemed like home to us. It commenced snowing in the morning and continued until the ground was covered with its white blanket. Brother Greer kindly took us with his horse and carriage to the place. Rain set in, and it was a very disagreeable evening. But I had an appointment at the church. The rain poured from the heavens. Sister Greer loaned me her rubber ulster. The slush and water was so deep it went over my rubbers, and it was dangerous, slippery walking because of the ice upon the rocks leading into the church. Sarah fell as she was leaving the church. The lantern flew out of her hand, and the globe came off and rolled down in the gutter. She struck her head on the steps, and it made her faint and dizzy. Brother Farman came out to deliver a telegram which was to go to Battle Creek, and he fell, but was not injured much. We thank the Lord that these two escaped without further injury. I spoke to the few assembled in regard to the rise and progress of the messages and my experience and connection with the work in 1843 and 1844 and since that time. This was not a pleasant task for me, but I knew the people had no real knowledge of my work, and this is what they needed. There was no one present who had had an experience in these messages, and I must speak for myself and for the work in which I have been called to act a part.